Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm here with Karen Jensen, and you've written the book, Why God, Why? And if our listeners would like to go to the website, they could go to whygodwhybook.com.
That's right.
And of course, the experience is something that none of us want to deal with, and that is the demise of our spouse.
Yes.
So is this the first book that you've written?
Yeah, it is my first book. I've been a writer for years and years, and I've written books for other people, which you can, you know, read on my bio and all that. But this is the first one with my name on it. So, yeah. And so I started with the story of my husband passing away at age 37, totally suddenly, totally unexpectedly. Mm. And you know, it's called Why God, Why? What to Do When Life Doesn't Make Sense.
Yes.
And the thing that I found since writing it, and I travel and minister a lot. I'm a teacher, but I also travel. And is that everybody has questions. You know, somebody has had something happen in their life that didn't make sense.
And if they haven't had it yet,
they will. I know, we're sad to say.
That is just the story of our existence.
It is.
This
on this planet, right. We're redeemed, but the planet is not.
Yes.
And so things happen. And so, yeah. So it's kind of, I like to call it a guidebook for getting through the pain or getting past the valley.
So let's unpack that today. You are happily married to the man of your dreams. Did you have children?
Yes, my sons were 12 and 13 at the time. We were pastoring a church in Boise, Idaho.
He was a pastor.
Yeah.
Were you teaching at the time?
I was the children's pastor at the time.
Okay.
So I did the kids, yeah. Yeah.
Just a perfect scenario, and as perfect as one could imagine. And what were some of the projects that were, you know, that you were involved in? Because these kinds of things, it just is amazing how they take us. They're so unexpected.
Yes, very much so. Well, I mean, we had pioneered the church about 4.5 years before, so it's just a toddler church, you know, so it's taking all of our attention like a toddler does.
Yeah, it needs you.
Yes, exactly.
This isn't a good time.
No, there's never a good time for your husband to go to bed and just die, ever.
Yes.
But, you know, yeah, so the church was very young, and I took over pastoring. And raising my sons just at the beginning of their teenage years.
So you took over pastoring, so you not only had to go through your own grief, but you had to take a church through their grief of losing a pastor.
Yeah.
So how did you do that?
Well, you know, I mean, now this again was 17 years ago for me. So I have walked through and come out the other side.
Well, and that's the only reason why we can talk without crying about it.
Right, exactly, exactly.
Because time has gone by.
Yes, and of course there is a grieving process. You know, I talk about that in my book. There are stages of grief, whether you like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
We Westerners aren't very good at grieving. We like to just push it aside.
Yes.
You know, Psalm 23 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." We Americans would rather walk around it or ignore it, or you know what I mean?
Yes.
So there's obviously a process to go through. I mean, I cried every day for a year, probably.
Yeah,
I mean,
so how did you function as a pastor?
Yeah, but
I mean, how did you put on that pastor dance and go out and face the next
Only
day?
Only by the grace of God, of course. And, you know, if you have to get up every morning and get your kids off to school and you have to get up and be a pastor, it makes you keep going, you know, so that I did.
Wow, that not only did you take a church through the grieving process, but you were taking your children through that grieving process too. The draw on you was there. I mean, I'm afraid I might get ahead of the story here, but was there ever a time where you said, "Okay, I have to decompress. I have to take care of my grief, my own personal grief."
Yeah, absolutely. And what I learned was, you know, as women, we tend to put everybody before ourselves. You know, when you're a wife, you put your husband before you. When you're a mother, you put your kids before you. When you work at the church, you put everybody before you. And so it was an interesting time for me because I had to learn more about me. You know, somebody told me early on when my husband died, said, "Be sure you do something you love every day." And I thought, what do I love? Yeah, I never stopped to ask myself.
It's gone.
Well, no, but I mean, you know, what do you like to do? Yeah. Because it was always about whatever everybody mm-hmm. else liked to do, you know? And so it took some more introspection than I was used to, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I can just say this, you know, at the time, my associate pastor and his wife bought me a new Amplified Bible with my Pastor Karen on the front, you know? And I just devoured that thing. Luckily, since I took over my husband's job, I now had all day, you know, mm-hmm. to study the Word and stuff. I didn't have to go out and get a job
yes.
or whatever. I used to just read it. I say like a five-year-old learning to read. I devoured God's mm-hmm. Word because I found out that He's a very present help in times of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was the worst time of my life, but on the other hand, it was the best time because I fell in love with Jesus.
Yes.
You know, I loved God before.
Yes.
I did. But now yes. when you need Him so much,
yes.
you know, I pressed into the Word. And I just don't know if we always do that when we're in trouble. You know, because
yes.
you just, without the Word of God, we are. In Psalm 119:92, it says, without your Word, I would have perished in my affliction.
Yeah.
And that was me. I just had to have it. I devoured the Word of God. And you have to expect as a Christian, when you do that, you are strengthened.
Yes.
You know, the Word is alive mm-hmm. and active and sharper than an mm-hmm. two-edged sword. You know, Christians, we always say things like that, you know, read your Bible, read your Bible, read your
yeah.
Bible. And I know that people think, come on, there's got to be another answer besides read your Bible and
yes.
pray.
It sounds so glib.
But
sometimes.
There really isn't.
Yes.
Really, you have this book that is alive. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And that is where all the answers are. And that means read it more.
Mm-hmm.
Not you don't read it more to get the blessings, because the blessings already belong to you
yes.
in Christ. But you read it to remember what you mm-hmm. what your covenant is. You read mm-hmm. it so you can stand up to the devil and say, no mm-hmm. more devouring here. I believe the Word.
I imagine that first day in the pulpit as the pastor of the church, I can just imagine everyone really listened.
Well, yeah, and I didn't really start preaching right away because I was, you know, so inevitably what happened was I have lots of preacher friends and they all came and did services for us and they'd want to pray for everybody and they'd want to pray for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so inevitably they'd pray for me and everybody else would go home and I'd still be there basking in the presence of God and I would say, Father, as long as we're down here and you're ministering to me so sweetly and, you know, you're speaking to me, is there anything you'd like to tell me about what in the world happened, you know?
Yeah.
And you know what? He said the same thing to me every time. He said, can you trust me?
Mm.
And so after about seven or eight times doing that, I stopped asking him. I said, yes, Lord, I can trust you and I get it.
Yeah.
What you're telling me is that there's some stuff going on here that I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, in other words, life doesn't make sense. That's why the book
right.
is called Why God, Why? What to Do When Life Doesn't yeah. Make Sense, you know? But yes, I can trust you. And so that's what the book is about. You know, I like I said, I like to call it a guidebook to give to people when they're mm-hmm. going through things that don't make sense. Because I talk about how ask all the questions you want about it. People are funny. They say, you shouldn't question God, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that's silly because, first of all, He's your Father.
Yeah.
He loves you. Mm-hmm. He knows how many hairs there are on our head,
mm-hmm.
you know. And He's the one with all the answers. So don't run from Him. Run to Him.
Mm-hmm.
And ask all your scary, ugly questions. But then put them on the back burner. In the book, I liken it to making a stew. You know, you cut up all the ingredients, mm-hmm. and then what do? You put the lid on, and you push it to the back burner till it cooks and it's real
yeah.
good. You know,
mm-hmm.
and then you go on cooking the rest of the meal on the front burner. And so what should we do when we ask all our ugly questions, put them in the pot, push mm-hmm. it to the back burner, now what do I think on? Because really, you're in charge of what you think on.
Yes.
And if you spend all your time focusing on why did this happen? Why did God
yes.
let this happen?
Yes.
Why didn't, you know, why does my life look like this now? Because this isn't just about people who've lost a loved one. This is about why did this happen? Why did God let this happen? Why God
yes.
didn't do something?
Mm-hmm.
People have questions. You know, why
yeah.
I always wanted to be married, I'm not. You know, just a mm-hmm. million questions that people have. And the thing is, if you focus all the time on your questions, you're living in the land of pain.
Yes.
You know, mm-hmm. that's Psalm 23 says, go through the valley. Don't stop and make a
yes.
camp there. We all know people who've had terrible
yes.
things happen to them, and that
mm-hmm.
event then defines
yes.
their life. And God does not want you to make a camp in the land of pain. He wants you to keep going.
Yeah, I love that. God does not want you to make a camp in the land of pain.
Yes.
That needs to be a bumper sticker. Wow, that's powerful.
Well, and so that's what the book does. It tells you how to get past the pain. Because you and I both know people that we talk to and they tell you an event that happened, it was 30 years ago.
Yes.
And you think, oh my, I'm pretty sure you should be over it, you know, because you don't want disastrous events happen. I wish they didn't, you know, mm-hmm. but you have to be real clear about where they come from. They're not from God. John 10:10, Jesus said, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that you might have life mm-hmm. and have it more abundantly.
So how did your husband pass away?
He went to bed, and I think that he probably had reflux, you know, where food backs up in your esophagus, because as I remember it, he would sleep propped up on pillows and wake up coughing in the night. And he died on New Year's Day in 1997, and we had been out real late the night before for a party at the church, and then I had a crisis early in the morning, so he was running low on sleep.
Yeah.
And he went to bed, and he was too tired to sit up and cough.
Wow.
Which is not a good enough reason to die, you know? But but then again, I found out that three different people had come to him and told him that, two pastors and a praying lady, that they had had dreams that he was going to die. So even though it looks real sudden to me, I didn't know about the dreams. He didn't tell me any of that. But what that tells me is that God was on the scene, and he was warning and trying to help and trying to, you know, avoid things. But God did not take my husband, you know. And people need to be real clear about that. Otherwise, they think God's the enemy.
Yes.
And how can they go to him when they need him so badly? He's not our enemy.
And so you address that in the book
as well. Very much so. You've got to settle that God is good and the devil is bad, so that you can keep believing God to bring you through the valley, through the pain. And really what the book is, you know, it's mostly about what to think on now.
Yes.
When something bad happens to people, they start to think, I thought I knew some stuff, but now I don't know anything anymore. You know, what I thought was real is up for grabs now.
Yes.
And so the thing is, there are some things you still know.
Mm-hmm.
Like God is on the throne. He still has a good plan for you. He's still a God of multiplication and increase. His character hasn't changed just because of something that happened to you. And so that's what the book is about. Here are the things to think on, you know.
Yes.
And at the end of every chapter, I take the scripture that I've used in each chapter and then write a declaration or a confession that you can speak yourself so that you can get a vision for your life.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times when something bad happens, we lose the vision for our life.
Right. You have to get in that mode where you speak blessing over yourself.
Yes.
Sometimes there's no one else speaking any blessing
and
over
you. Can't think of anything. Sometimes, I don't know, when I get overwhelmed by bad, I'm like, I can't think of anything good. So here, take this book, and it'll help you read these things and remind yourself, oh, I do still know some things. God is still on the throne. He's still working for me. That's what faith is, right? Faith
That's
is
right.
believing something that God has said, even when it looks like everything's, you know, hitting the fan all around us.
We have to take a break right here, but when we come back, I want to talk about your children and how they processed.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
Hush, baby Moses, hush. They'll hear you. Don't cry, please, baby Moses, don't cry. Baby Moses, I think they're gone.
Baby Moses, an I Can Read book for beginning readers.
Go to mrgmediaministries.com. mrgmediaministries.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin. And I come to you each week through the programs of Education Currents and Homeschool Companion. And I'm so blessed to be part of MRG Media Radio Ministry. And I'm giving you the opportunity to be part of it too. We can't stay on the air without your financial support. So take a moment right now during our fundraiser to call you with a gift of any size. As a token of my appreciation for your gift, I have a gift for you, so be sure you call. And my gifts consist of books from different guests that I've had on the show and different topics that I've done. And I also have some books that I've written that I've autographed for you. So be sure and call us, 301-824-3162. That's 301-824-3162. Or write to MRG Media at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. That's P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783.
Welcome back. I'm here with Karen Jensen. You can go to her website, whygodwhybook.com. And her book by the same title, Why God Why, is her story of making sense of this life and all the tragedies that happen or are going to happen to us. And prior to the break, we talked a little bit about, you know, what led up to your husband's demise and how you dealt with that whole loss and his church, how they dealt with it. But we didn't talk about how your children dealt with it. So lead us through their ages again and the process by which you helped.
Well, they were 12 and 13 when their dad died. And that's, you know, just starting teenage years. Yes, and all that. But, you know, they had been brought up on the Word of God. You know, not like me, you know what I'm saying? They were word boys from birth. And so they did the same thing that I did. They depressed into the Word of God. I mean, you don't have to be young, old, whatever. I mean, the Word of God is the guidebook for your life. It is, you know, I think that my children even now read the Bible more than me. And I'm a Bible school teacher, you know? They understand.
Yes.
When things go wrong, we go to the answer book. We go to God. We run to Him. Mm-hmm. You know, and today they are both in ministry, serving God with all their hearts. They both got married last year to wonderful women. And so our lives just got better and better because we decided to keep believing God in the midst of the trial.
Yeah.
We decided to keep cooking on the front burners.
So you're this now pastor of a fledgling church.
Yes.
And it sounds like you had some support, but did you seek additional counseling, you know, on your own, like grief counseling or anything?
We didn't, but I think there's a great benefit in that. I really do. You know, we had our church family and staff and, you know, a lot of things going on for us, but not everybody has that big a support system. And I really do think, I'm kind of a fan of support groups and things like that, because you realize you're not the only one who's gone through stuff like this.
Yes.
You know, and you can sometimes people in those groups bring you down or whatever, but there's something so significant about bonding together with other people who've gone through things that you have and realize they come out of it, you know. And it's a place for you to, it's again, because we Westerners are not very good at grieving, it's a good place to go to realize there are stages and we must go through them.
Remind our listeners of those stages. The first one,
you know, I don't remember them by heart, but you know, denial, anger.
Anger.
I know the last one is acceptance.
Acceptance.
Yeah. I'm sorry, they're written in the book, but I'm not a psychologist or anything. I'm not sure what page they're on. Yeah, and I think everybody needs to realize that things like anger is normal. You know, I often tell people, my friend Tony Cook wrote a great book called Life After Death, and it's a book for getting through the grieving process. My book is more of any kind of thing, not just grieving, but, you know, why is my life turned out like this? Why did I pray and God didn't answer the way I thought He should? Or why did God allow this or that? Or, you know, and so, but Tony's book, Life After Death, has all the stages. And I think when you know the stages of grieving,
If you even understand that the fact that denial is can be a big
you can
block.
Get stuck there.
Yeah.
Yes. And that's really why I've written this book, is to get unstuck.
Yes. And then anger, if you get stuck there.
Yes. People stay mad about things forever.
Yes.
You know, they get divorced in their 20s and they're still mad about it in their 50s.
Yes.
Yeah, you got stuck. Here, get this book. Let me help you.
Yeah, you want to get to the point where you accept and you move on.
And God totally wants to help you do that. You know, if people think He's their enemy, then they won't turn to Him when He's really the
answer.
And
that is, you know,
the worst.
That comes from the Father of lies.
Yes.
He is there, on the other hand, saying, you know, God caused this to happen, and He doesn't really love you that much.
Right, and that's just wrong, wrong, and a lie, yeah.
And how do you explain the fact that we believe God is sovereign and He could have prevented it? He could have.
Well, see, I just think because we live on an earth with a curse, we have to realize that we live in a hostile environment. You know what I mean?
We
humans are so funny. We want answers. Why did this happen?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we may not get all the answers that we want, but one thing I know is that God is still faithful, and He still has a good plan for you. And if you cling to Him, He will go on. I told my kids, we called it the other plan A.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was never God's plan for my husband to die at 37. God doesn't go around killing people at 37, you know? And so we got stolen from. We absolutely did. So in our family, we decided, well, devil, you done messed with the wrong family. Now we're going to have to go and serve God with all our hearts and, you know, have a good testimony.
I'm going to turn it around for
his
good.
And he wants to do that in everybody's lives.
Well, I'm going to ask this maybe, and if you don't feel comfortable answering it, but did your husband have a good life insurance policy? I mean, how did you survive?
He did. In fact, you know what's funny is he bought life insurance like about four months before he died. Which makes me know he also knew something was going on, you know. It wasn't a ton, but, you know, and I always say, you know, obviously money doesn't replace them, but it sure can help.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, I encourage people, get life insurance, you know. And the younger you are, the less it costs.
Yes.
So go for it, you know. It doesn't cost
very
much.
So were you, have you ever remarried?
No, and but in fact, I am engaged.
You are engaged.
Yes, I'm getting married next month.
Yes.
I always expected to get remarried. And, you know, I had questions. Why, God, why am I not remarried?
So you can minister to that single person, too, because that's a long time to walk the road all alone.
Yep. But keep believing, and you'll end up with the man of your dreams like me. Get married next month, so I'm excited.
That is a great testimony to God's
He's so faithful.
Unending love.
Yes.
Your book, Why God Why, ended up pretty good seller.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited about it. And I, you know, I get so much great feedback from people whose lives are just blessed. Even now, you know, we just had a big conference where I'm from, and people who hadn't read it before, you know, and read it. A lot of them just read it because they know me, and then they're surprised to find out that there's things in there that they needed.
Yeah.
You know, they were maybe asking questions that they didn't even know they were, or it just, it's so full of the Word that it just helps us all remember who we are in Christ and what we have in Him. And, you know, it's very empowering kind of a thing. And so I've just been getting great feedback. And people are able to give it. It's got, right, pretty early in the book, it's got a, you know, if you don't know Jesus, turn to the back of the book, then come back and keep reading. So you can give it to your neighbor who isn't saved, who lost a loved one, who had a terrible, you know, their house burned down or something. You can give this book to anybody who
life doesn't make sense. Turned God off because they've seen, you know, how can God be a God of love? Look at all this suffering, you know.
Why are there hurricanes and tornadoes and child prostitution? And exactly.
And so this book helps them in that. It really helps them to make sense of why bad things happen to good people, why bad things happen in general, and how
To press through and come through the pain to a full life. Yes, God wants us all to live a full, abundant, prosperous life.
Yes, and you are, you know, you're sitting here before me with just the peace that passes understanding.
You can only get that from Him.
That's right.
You know, can't get it anywhere else. People look all over the place for it, but it comes from God.
And you can't fake it.
No.
So I thank you so much. I've been talking to Karen Jensen. You can go to the website, Why God, Why Book. Make sure you get the word book in there, .com. And the title of the book is Why God, Why. What to do when life doesn't make sense. And unfortunately for all of us, there are times when life just doesn't make sense. But
it's
we can hang into that.
Yes.
We can cling
we can
to that
make
rock.
Make it through.
Yes. Thank you so much for spending this time with us. And one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
Thank you. You too.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.